Welcome back, everyone, to the Big Sky Podcast Network Power Rankings presented by Tubbs at the Club, which means presented by Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey. I'm your host, Brian Marceau, back after 1 week off. By the way, guys, apologize for the voice. I was at the Idaho-Montana State game on Saturday, and I was screaming myself hoarse, and this is just how I'm at, guys. But hey, we're presenting the show a little bit differently today. So for the first, we just finished week nine. So we've had eight episodes having missed one. This is the eighth episode having missed one. Previously, I just run through teams 12 through one, talk about each team. And look, we're deep enough into the year now where we've got 3 weeks of conference play left before the regular season's done. And we have a Big Sky conference champion. And then we're potentially talking playoffs. So I'm going to batch the teams into tiers now, which, hey, the tiers are made based off voting from Big Sky Podcast Network contributors, guys like Brent Wahlberg at GrizzFan, guys like Kyler Neal, who used to do Eagle Power Hour, but still does a lot of stuff for FCS Fans Nation, guys like myself in Dallas. We have some Big Sky beat reporters, guys like Colter Nuanez, Andrew Houghton, Trevin Pixley covering Idaho, and then some other people we know who are knowledgeable about the conference itself. So that's going to give you guys our 12 through 1 ranking, and I'll tell you who everyone is 12 through 1. But for the sake of discussion today, we're going to focus much more on just the tiers. And look, we're going to spend more time on the top tier than the bottom tier because we're pretty late in the season to care about the bottom tier unless you are a follower of Cal Poly in Northern Colorado. And hey, Kevin Marshall in comment section, great win. Was glad to be there. Kevin Marshall from FCS Nation Radio, our favorite national show. I just want to say, hey, Kevin, glad you can make it to Moscow for a couple, 2 out of 3 weeks in a row. And hey, thanks for tuning in. Patty first saying the top three should be interesting. And you know, Patty, for the sake of speeding through, we're going to jump into the tiers right now. This is the tier we're going to spend virtually no time on. To me, this is tier three. We have Northern Colorado, Cal Poly. Northern Colorado played this week. Cal Poly mercifully did not. So I'm just not going to talk about Cal Poly. They're terrible. Their only wins against Northern Colorado. Their only Big Sky win so far is against Northern Colorado. I don't think they're going to get another one. Done talking Cal Poly. Northern Colorado played. They played in Missoula against the FCS, the official FCS or official NCAA top 10 for playoff purposes was released last week. Montana was number six in that ranking, which means, hey, on paper, if Montana season ended today, they'd have a bye. Well, that's who Northern Colorado played. And it went about as well in Missoula as you could guess. Montana shuts out Northern Colorado 40-0. The Northern Colorado end, I'm going to talk about this for 10 seconds. They accrued 94 total yards. Northern Colorado, out of 122 FCS teams, is the 10th worst or number 112 scoring team in the nation. And in Big Sky play, Northern Colorado is averaging 14 points a game. They have no route to win whatsoever. They can't score at all. Defensively, they're not that much better. Defensively, Northern Colorado gives up just under 30 points a game. So they're getting doubled up every week. The end. I'm done talking Northern Colorado. I already talked Cal Poly. Tier two. This is where the Big Sky is either fun or a mess, depending on how you want to talk about the conference. So, look, in order for Tier 2, we have Weber State, UC Davis, Eastern Washington, NAU, ISU, and so Idaho State and Portland State. And all these teams are interchangeable. I don't care. I don't think anyone should care who gets a vote where because none of these teams are good. All of these teams can beat each other on any given week based off health, location of the game, and then just your typical schematic matchups that always matter in games. But truly, number 10 through number 5 in this conference, I think it's completely irrelevant, however you want to talk about these teams. To sprint through what some of these teams did, look, we had starting at the bottom, Weber State did not play. UC Davis, our next team, did play. UC Davis lost at Northern Arizona 38-21. So hey, I'll talk about Davis and Northern Arizona at the same time. Because again, I don't care. I know they're listed. NAU was voted higher than Davis, and which makes sense. NAU just beat Davis. But these teams are all essentially the exact same thing. Yes, Martin saying top five. PSU is a real thing. Martin, but well, they might be number five, they might be number 10. It doesn't matter. It just depends on the week. These things absolutely reshuffle. So to talk about Davis and NAU simultaneously. At Flagstaff, Northern Arizona handles UC Davis 38-21. Throughout this game, NAU had a, if you look at what NAU did quarterback wise, it was a little bit weird. Cause we had NAU had a split between Angel Flores and Adam DeMonte, but, and also a Chase Belcher threw a pass, but Chase Belcher is a running back. On the game, NAU passes 11 of 18 between the, amongst those three for two touchdowns and two picks. NAU, you might think, hey, well, if they only passed 18 times, they scored 38 points. NAU must have really been aggressive on the ground. No, they were not. NAU rushed 32 times for 115 yards. They did pick up two touchdowns. The issue here for Davis is Davis turned the ball over for NAU forced four turnovers out of Davis. Now, NAU also gave up three turnovers. So this game itself was a bit of a mess to dissect, but let's just go back to the standings for a second to talk about this. Davis on the season sits at 4-4. NAU on the season sits at 3-5. In conference play, NAU right now sits at 3-2. Davis sits at 2-3. So maybe your takeaway is, hey, it's in this mess that I just described about not caring about keep NAU above Davis because there's a one game difference. I don't think you should care about either of these teams. I think early in the year, everyone was waiting to figure out, will Davis put it together? The answer is Davis is not going to put it together in a meaningful way this year. Their role is, can they ruin part of Sacramento State's playoff aspirations, or mean Sacramento State's potential seeding aspirations at the end of the year? Northern Arizona, they're playing out the string, hoping to finish above around 500 in conference to probably so that at least for Chris Ball's sake, you can point and say there's been some growth. But this game's a bit of a mess. On the UC Davis end, Miles Hastings goes 27 to 46 for 327 yards, but throws two touchdowns, but also throws three picks. Lan Larrison, running back, is back for the first time in a while, rushes 24 times for 101 yards on the season, or sorry, on the night. But anyway, here's the thing I take away from this. Davis doesn't quite double up NAU yardage wise. Davis gains 476 yards on the game to NAU's 298. But when you turn the ball over four times, it's pretty hard to win games. I'm done talking about UC Davis and NAU. Other teams in this middle tier that I have not yet talked about, Eastern Washington played top five Portland State in the Damn Cup. And last week I said, on Tubbs the Club, I said, I think that if you understand, if Eastern Washington doesn't face plant the way that Idaho State game, you probably understand the Eagles a little bit differently. And I take that back. I was just objectively wrong. Eastern Washington is just simply not a good football team. They're 2-3 in Big Sky play with 3 weeks. They sit at 3-5 overall. If the Eagles win out, they're narrowly over 500. Anyway, to go to the tail of the tape in this game, Eastern Washington surrendered 544 yards to Portland State. Now, Portland State does have one of the better total offenses in the Big Sky. Right now, they're number two in the Big Sky, averaging 448 yards per game in conference play, which does not count that, you know, that NAIA game early in the year. So I do want to at least acknowledge of this crew, Portland State, and I'll talk about Idaho State in a second. Portland State and Idaho State, I think, have the most electric offenses, so maybe that's something you pay attention to if your team happens to be playing those two teams. Look, Eastern Washington, they were ranked just fringe top 25 early in the year, and that was a mirage. The Eagles surrender, like I said, 544 yards. They accrue 513 of their own, but lose a turnover margin 3-1 against Portland State. And there you go. I mean, look, the final quarter of this game was at least interesting. Eastern scored 19 points in the final quarter. You might think that was a bit of a comeback, but the Eagles surrendered 20. So it was not. It was just a back and forth, keeping the game at around 12-ish. Kikoa Vesperis, 26 of 41 for Eastern with two touchdowns and two picks. Dante Sacheray for Portland State, 10 of 13, passing for 141 yards, a touchdown and a pick. But then on the ground, man, Portland State, 52 rushes for 403 yards, including Joby Mallory, 23 rushes for 241 yards. And catch this, I'm going to say it right here. There is no way anyone but Joby Mallory is Big Sky Conference Offensive Player of the Week. 23 carries, 241 rushes, 6 touchdowns, including a long rush of 75 yards. So, hey, takeaway from Eastern Washington. Going to Patty Furks in the comment section. Aaron Best is on the hot seat for real now. I don't know how the dude could not. I mean, early in the year, I saw the Idaho Eastern game, and I thought Eastern looked better talent-wise. But we're talking about not that big a difference win-wise relative to saying we think their talent's improved. If one of the things that you have to look at, this is, again, I'm leaning into conference stats. I don't care about OOC right now. You look at Eastern Washington, they were the second worst rushing defense in the Big Sky last year. Cal Poly is a better rushing defense right now than Eastern Washington. Eastern's giving up 6.6 yards per carry, just under 250 yards in conference play, and 17 rushing touchdowns. I do not know how Eastern could be worse defending on the ground. And if you're in the Big Sky with just the dynamic of how the evolution of this conference is right now, and we know styles ebb and flow, whatever, right now, the better teams in the Big Sky can pass, but they can run pretty dang well too. So if you're not going to be able to stop the run at all, you're done. Eastern has no route forward. So there we go. That's the Eagles. For Portland State, maybe you understand this as the team looks a little bit more healthy. Maybe that would have mattered last week against Idaho State when Portland State lost last week to Idaho State. We'll hit Idaho State in a second. Portland State rebounded this week. So I still think of Portland State as, hey, Martin asked, are they for real top five? Hey, maybe they are five or six. I guess that's how I'd slot them in this of these teams, 10 through five. I'm a Vandal. If I were to tell you which of these teams concerns me most, that could potentially spoil playoff seeding or playoff hopes if you're one of the top four teams in the conference, it's without a question Portland State or Idaho State, matchup dependent. The end. So now Idaho State, look, the Bengals had been frisky. They pick up their second loss, kind of a spectacular loss, drops the Bengals to 3-2 in conference play. That loss came at Sacramento State, 51-16. And here's the devastating part. If you're a Bengal, is early, this game was close. Idaho State actually did pull ahead 16-14 in the second quarter. This is after falling behind 14-0 after a couple of Sac State touchdowns in the first. But once the Bengals had that 16-14 lead, that's 37 consecutive points out of Sacramento State for an absolute blowout, including a 27-0 shutout in the second half. From the Idaho State end, Hunter Hayes took the majority of the snaps at quarterback. Jordan Cook was only 6 of 14 for 49 yards and a pick, which makes sense why he didn't play as much. Hunter Hayes, 17 of 31 for 193 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. And then we got our first action out of Jackson Sharman, 7 of 11 for a pick when the game was no longer in doubt. Overall takeaway from just the Idaho State end narrowly, because we're going to talk Sacks. Look, Sac State's in the next year, so we're going to hit them in a second. Idaho State gained 334 yards, which is certainly below the Bengals' overall average in Big Sky play. Bengals on the season in Big Sky play averaging 426 yards per game. The issue, and we'll talk more about this in the Sacramento State section in a moment, is the Bengals gave up 587 yards to Sacramento State and turned the ball over 4 times. So there you go, man. Idaho State comes crashing down to earth a teeny bit. I don't think I'd actually call this crashing down the earth. The Bengals are still having a good season for them. It's still fun in Idaho State. I just think it's pretty clear that, there was a talk about McLean Westbrook, host Jungle Land, fun dude, great show. You guys should give Jungle Land a listen after you listen to Tubbs at the club. But listen to their show. They're talking a little bit about, they were excited about, hey, if Idaho State can run the table, you know, hey, this is a dramatic turnaround for playoffs. I don't think anyone actually believed Idaho State was going to do that, but hey, it's a theoretical, it's a potentiality until there's a loss. Yeah, I think Idaho State's just in that middle tier. And to change tone from how I brought up Eastern, that's a huge step forward for Idaho State this year. The fact that Idaho State last year is objectively in that garbage first tier. And now they're somewhere between the 10th and 5th best team in the conference, depending on matchup. That's that's representative growth. So I don't want to be dismissive of Idaho State. That is the fact that that's a team that that the higher level teams do have to care about as being a potential playoff spoiler or seeding spoiler. Huge step forward for Idaho State. But look, it's hard to completely turn a team around in 1 year. The Bengals, they won one game last season. So, hey, that's where they're at. They're in that middle tier. Now, we're going to talk about another tier in a second. Before that, show sponsor Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey, one of the best buys in Idaho State liquor stores. If you haven't given Snake River a shot this season, I don't know what's wrong with you. The standard Snake River 25 is $25.95 for a fifth, $45.95 for a handle. That's exclusively the size I buy. If you want to class up your night a little bit, celebrate a big win like Sacramento State over Idaho State, I'd go to the 1915 small batch edition. Both the Snake River Standard and the 1915 small batch have double barrel finishes. If you have not given it a shot this year, you need to before the year's over, guys. Snake River Stampede. The next tier. I call this tier 1A because Sacramento State, I think, is a little bit tough to sort on this year. I put them in tier 1A. I don't think they're in tier 2. I don't think we're going to know for a fact if Sacramento State deserves their own tier until the season's over. We just covered Sacramento State beat the hell out of Idaho State 51-16. The Sacramento State end of this game. The Hornets gained 587 yards, forced 4 turnovers. Now, if you're a Hornet fan, you are probably a bit anxious that the Hornets turned the ball over 3 times against Idaho State, and that has to matter when you think about, next week against Montana. But look, Hornets did whatever they wanted to do. They're balanced in their offensive attack as they like to be. 314 yards through the air on 32 attempts, 273 yards on the ground on 49 attempts. A little bit of intrigue is freshman Carson Conklin saw the majority of passing reps this game. Caden Bennett played in the first half, went 7 of 11 for 79 yards, threw one touchdown, threw a pick, also rushed 11 times for 45 yards. But then Carson Conklin goes 14 of 21 for 235 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. And from what I saw out of those 2 quarterbacks, it's clear that Caden Bennett is probably the guy that Sacramento State needs. Patty Ferguson comment section, did Bennett get hurt? Look, I didn't watch the entire Idaho State game. The announcers did not reference an injury. So I don't know if there was an injury. Sacramento State doesn't have the most aggressive reporting that you might say, but according to the announcers, it sounded like Sacramento State wanted to give freshman Conklin some reps. They felt that Idaho State was a fine team to do it. And then Conklin looked good. So my guess from what I saw is that they just chose to leave the dude in, and it obviously worked fine. Martin Heemster saying Sam Herder made it seem like it was just a swap. That was my understanding, is they let Conklin go in. He kicked ass. I said, okay, well, let's just roll with this. Doesn't mean it's a official rotation heading into next week. Patty first saying, it seems like Sac State sees him as the future. And look, he's a more traditional pocket passer than Caden Bennett, but, if he's going to be playing more, then obviously Sacramento State loses a dimension of their offense running from the quarterback position. But as a pure passer, I can understand why Andy Thompson thought, hey, let's give Carson Conklin over Carson Camp some extra reps as a freshman. Dude has a good arm, looked poised. And as a reference, Idaho State's not a bad team. So if you feel good about how a freshman looks against Idaho State, okay, that might be against the 5th best team in the conference. So it sounds like you have a pretty good dude. Patty Furk saying Bennett is a wild card. Yeah, Caden Bennett is a wild card, man. There are always going to be a few just my lord passes. And I look, it was not long after he threw one of those passes into like quintuple coverage, which was picked off, that Conklin came in. So when I want to hit the Sacramento State end a little bit more than just quarterback. Patty first bringing up Idaho fans should be praying Marcus Fulcher is back next week, running back for Sacramento State. He's missed a lot of time with injury. He was back, I think he was back 2 weeks ago, then he was out this week. So you're right. Fulcher's best running back for Sacramento State. If you're a Vandal fan, you need the dude in. And the reason Patty's bringing that up is like, we got to hit the Sacramento State end as far as where they are, why I think they're an interesting team to talk about. Sacramento State has 0 bad losses on the college football season. The Hornets right now sit at 6-2 overall, 3-2 in Big Sky play. Those 2 losses are on the road in week 1 of conference play to Idaho, your number heading into this week, number seven Vandals in the FCS, official FCS NCAA rankings for playoffs. And to the number, what was the number two team, Montana State. Now this was at home for Sacramento. And that was last week. It was about a 12 point game, I think 42, 32, something like that. I can look it up, whatever. It was less than two touchdowns, more than two, but at least two score loss. So Sacramento State, no bad losses, but when we're talking about sorting these teams, if you're looking at the potential round robin teams, these top four teams, and if you haven't tracked this yet, we're at the final four teams to talk about. We're at Sacramento State, Montana State, Idaho, in some order. Sacramento State is 0-2 against Montana State and Idaho, and the Hornets have Montana this week to either move up to 1-2 against those teams or 0-3. If Sacramento State is hoping for any sort of seed, they probably got a win out, and getting a win over Montana would be objectively a quality win. The Grizz are number six in that NCAA ranking, so that'd be big for Sacramento State. But at this point, I think it's fair to put Sacramento State underneath or beneath the other three. One, just because of the losses and the fact of the losses. I know the Idaho loss was a 9-point game that was buttressed off a very late fumble, a desperation kickoff fumble return for a touchdown. But I just watching that game early, I felt like Idaho was probably at least a two-score better team than Sacramento State, and then Montana State was about a two-score better team as well. So I'm fine saying that this is exactly where Sacramento State should be, number four in the Big Sky, which puts you top 10 in the nation. So Patty Firk saying 100% a playoff team, talking about Sacramento State. A win versus Montana this week might give him an edge on a seed. Yeah, I mean, and you know, to look at where the Hornets stand in the conference overall, I've hit this topic a few times. Sacramento State does nothing in particular that's spectacular to me on either side of the ball, other than they're pretty good at getting to the quarterback. But Sacramento State is steady at just about every single facet of the game. Look, they're the number five total offense. They're the number seven total defense. You want to look at rushing defense. They're still, number six rushing defense, number five rushing offense. You want to look at passing. We have the number four passing offense. We got the number, number eight passing defense. So, hey, maybe that's probably where you'd say they are most susceptible, but in the Big Sky, the better teams are minus Idaho. And Idaho doesn't attempt to be passed first, but of the teams above Sacramento State, or Sacramento State's competing with, being less strong against the pass is not as much of a liability, because Montana is not abusing teams through the air. Montana State certainly doesn't even try to abuse teams through the air for the most part. So, you know, Patty Firk saying Sac's got a great secondary, honestly. I don't disagree. I think they're solid. And also, as referenced against Idaho State, forced four turnovers. So Idaho State is a pretty strong passing team. They pass a ton and they're effective at it, but relative to the volume of passings, Idaho State doesn't really turn the ball over as much as you might guess. So forcing those turnovers is a big deal. Dane Moon in the comment section, time to get a bye seed, go Vandals. We'll get to them, Dane. But, I think we're clear on where Sacramento State is. Huge week for the Hornets. Playing Montana. That game is going to be in Missoula. It's at 5 p.m. Relative to matchups next week, that is easily the game of the week, not remotely close. So if you guys, other than your own team, if you're looking for a Big Sky game to circle, have this one penciled in. Sacramento State and Montana has playoff and seeding ramifications for both teams for a fact. Before we get into that final tier and the last three teams you really need to sort out, show sponsor Hughes River Expedition. Here's the thing, dudes. If you're listening to the show, there's a good chance that you live somewhere in either the Northwest or Intermountain region. That's part of the country where doing outdoor stuff is just what a lot of people do. And if you have not been out on the river for a guided expedition, if you have not had the chance to see the Selway, if you have not had the chance to explore rapids, to see nature that you would not see otherwise, if you haven't had the chance to see the Salmon River Canyons, you got to get a hold of Colin, man. The trips at Hughes River Expedition are all inclusive. It doesn't matter if you're a large group doing some sort of retreat, or if it's just you and your family and you want to do something you know you'll be talking about for the rest of your life. Get a hold of Colin. Call him now at 800-262-1882 or check him out at hughesriver.com. The first tier, And this is, we got Montana, Montana State, Idaho in that order. So we'll talk, we already talked about Montana more. I think there's less to take away from Montana this week. They beat Northern Colorado 40-0. Only thing to say is, to me, Montana picked up six sacks against Northern Colorado. That's back-to-back weeks with six sacks, one against a good team, Idaho, one against a garbage team, Northern Colorado. What it tells you is I think the Grizz, they have their edge back defensively. And that to me was what, in addition to the offensive stuff that we've ad nauseum documented, once Bobby Houck shifted to Clifton McDowell, a lot of stuff seemed to smooth out for Montana. I think what matters more is having that defensive edge. And I think the team seems to have found it. You know, surrendered 94 total yards against Northern Colorado. You had to hit the offensive end just for a moment. Look, the Grizz certainly did not have to pass particularly much. The leading passer for the Grizz on this game was freshman. I'm going to butcher this name. It's the son of Brian Ayotte. Kelly Ayotte goes 9 of 13 for 89 yards and a touchdown. Clifton McDowell goes 7 of 14 for 81 yards and a touchdown. Grizz overall, 29 total passes, 170 yards, two touchdowns and a pick, but the pick was thrown by Travis Benham. On the ground, the Grizz rushed 51 times for 285 yards. So, you know, not Portland State or typical Montana State level, but pretty damn solid. Led by Eli Gilman, 14 rushes for 106 yards and two touchdowns. In addition to those six sacks, the Grizz were able to force two turnovers. Both those turnovers were interceptions of Jacob Sermon. So, yeah, no real takeaway from this game for Montana, other than, hey, the Grizz, they're rolling. This isn't Montana early in the year struggling through against a shitty team. This is pretty solid overall. The Grizz are exactly what you might think they are as the number, the makeup of the Grizz is to me what you might guess it is without doing much research of if this is going to be the number six team in the NCAA rankings in the nation. Well, they probably need low scoring games and they probably score fine and lead the conference or around lead the conference in points allowed. And that's what the Grizz are. They give up 18.4 points per game in conference, best in league. They're the number eight scoring team at 27.2 points per game. But that's, I don't know what else anyone could possibly expect this, the composition this Montana team could be. In addition to being the number eight scoring team, they're the number eight total offense as well, number four total defense. The bigger deal to me is, and hey, here's Patty first saying that with all the crazy blitzes Montana throws at you, that would scare me a bit. He's talking about Sacramento State's line, offensive line with pressure. So, you know, hey, if Patty's going to bring it up, which is a good idea, this is the interesting thing about Montana, huge week. So we already hit the Sacramento State end. The Montana end is the Grizz are, you know, depending on who you talk to, and I say that as in like if you're a Montana fan or a non-Montana fan, your understanding of Montana either includes the first 4 weeks of the season or is completely divorced from pre-ISU. So if your understanding of Montana is completely divorced of the first 4 weeks and saying, hey, it just took the Grizz a month or so to figure things out, but they figured things out now. This is Montana's chance to not only put a stamp on a bye, which they are in line to get right now. Even they have the single worst loss of all the good teams in the Big Sky, but they have one total loss. So this is still a very good football team. What the Grizz do need are marquee wins. They have a marquee win over Idaho. A second marquee win, I feel, would be slamming Montana right into not only seeding discussion, but reasonable discussion about being ranked above Idaho and maybe Montana State on paper as of now. The Grizz are rated above Idaho. I resume-wise disagree with that, but that's not the point of the show. Montana has a much rougher final 3 weeks than Idaho, for sure, to get that seed. You know, Montana's got Sacramento State this week, Portland State next week, then they close with Montana State. So the Grizz certainly have chances to pad their resume with quality wins. And the Sacramento State game is going to be huge for both Sacramento State and Montana for playoff purposes. That, to me, is must-see. You know, to very quickly preview that and talk about the next two teams. Sacramento State, objectively better offensive team than Montana. Sacramento State not as effective defensively as Montana, but solid. I think Patty Ferguson already hit the matchup. Is if Sacramento State's O-line can handle the Grizz blitz, I think it's a long day for Montana because I don't think they can score enough to really cause that many to cause Sacramento State to be concerned in the absence of turnovers and special teams from Montana. But turnovers and special teams impact is how the Grizz have been winning games and influencing games. How Ed Lamb talked about that in his presser about how Montana, they are very much a complementary football team and how the team works kind of as a unit or process, however you want to call it that. So that's what the Grizz have been able to effectively do. They've got one loss on the season. So yeah, I tuned into that game. I will talk about my pick for that game on Tubbs the Club. But hey, if you're using the power rankings to pick that, you'd pick Montana. Now talk about Montana, Idaho State. Cause I get it. Those two played each other. So we're going to talk about them both. Montana State, number two in our rankings, Idaho, number one, which should let you know, hey, Idaho won 24-21 in what, if the game in Moscow was not the game of the year in the Big Sky Conference, we've got some kick-ass games coming up in the last three weeks this season. This was a heavyweight match for sure. Not going to do that much of a play-by-play, but look, Montana State had the ball for 5 minutes and 55 seconds in the first half. That's the number two offense in the nation. Not Big Sky. They're number one in the Big Sky. Montana State's the number two offense in the nation, guys. Out of 122 FCS teams, Montana State's number two. University of Idaho kept the Bobcats on ice for a half. Then Montana State picks up a lead in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter was a back and forth affair. Idaho eventually pulled ahead. And Montana State absolutely missed the hell out of a game tying kick. Some more box score type takeaways from what was, again, just easily the best game of the week. From the Montana State end, because Idaho was able to get up early, and because defensively Idaho, here's the thing that I'm curious how Brent Vegan feels about the game him and his staff called. Idaho obviously wanted to make Montana State beat them with the pass. And if your defense is good enough, that's what every good playoff team is going to be trying to do against Montana State. Part of it was getting behind early, I believe, but Brent Vegan certainly obliged in letting Montana State's passing attack try to beat Idaho. Tommy Mellott goes 12 of 24 for 191 yards and two touchdowns. But I bring that up because Montana State rushed 23 times and passed 24 times. If you're curious, that is not remotely close to what the Bobcats typically do on an average Big Sky week. On the season, Montana State has thrown a total of 102 passes compared to 182 rush attempts. So pretty big imbalance there. And the Bobcats have that imbalance because they absolutely should have that imbalance. They've been able to run through teams for the entire season. But here's the critique of the Bobcat schedule. Is minus that, and hey, the Bobcats sit right now at 6-2 overall, 4-1 in Big Sky play. This week is the only Big Sky loss. The two losses the Bobcats have this season are at South Dakota State in week 2, 2016, now at Idaho, 24-21. So that's two losses to top 10 teams by a combined 7 points in games that Bobcat fans probably feel Bobcats should have won at least one, if not both, those games. Last week, Montana State did beat Sacramento State 42-30, so that is a good win. But there is, when I say good win, the Bobcats have a total of one good win on the season. The rest of Montana State's games have been blowouts against mostly garbage. So the final 3 weeks of the season now, it's going to be Montana State doesn't have a ton of options as far as adding quality wins other than final week of the season at Montana. As in this week, it's the Bobcats host NAU, and the week after that, they host Eastern. Neither of those are going to be considered quality wins for come playoff time. As both teams are in all likelihood going to finish under 500. Very good chance those teams finish under 500 in the Big Sky. So that's the playoff implication for Montana State, is that everyone knows they're good. Everyone knows that they're strong both offensively and defensively, but The Cats have played three playoff teams and they have lost twice. So there are certainly chinks in the Montana State armor. And Patty Firk saying, I've heard a lot of play calling complaints from Cat fans. To me, they couldn't do what they want to because they didn't have time. And when they did run the ball in their few plays in the first. And, you know, hey, Patty, that's thank you for bringing me back on track. Idaho forced the first three possessions of Montana State, Idaho forced three and outs. That's part of why Montana State didn't even get to run their 10th offensive play, not counting a punt, until 2 minutes and 2 minutes, 48 seconds left in the second half. Ron Lowney saying, we will see how you feel about playing us in the playoffs, Moon. Hey, Ron Lowney, glad to have you back in the comments section, dude. That game was fantastic. I hope you got to watch it. I was there in person. I was sitting in a Bobcat section. But for Montana State, look, I think winning out's a huge deal. And for maintaining not just a seed, but having as many home games as possible until the final four of the playoffs, the Bobcats just have to win out. They have to beat Montana. They probably have to hope Montana wins out until that final game of the season. Because just schedule-wise, there's no other option, and the Cats are 1-2 against playoff teams. Those are not bad losses, of course. They're competitive losses. I'm sure they're viewed broadly favorably by the committee. But if you're Montana State, based off week two, you had national championship hopes. Part of that aspiration is you need to host as many games as possible until you get to the final. You just want to stay out of being on the road on the Valley as long as you possibly can. I think Montana State is going to need help with this now, unless they're on the opposite side of the bracket as South Dakota State. But overall, my takeaway here from Montana State is what Patty said. Part of why Montana State didn't run is because Idaho did not let them. So if you're a Montana State fan, maybe I'm a little bit anxious now when I wonder if Montana is going to have the ability to do the same thing, stack in the box like Idaho did, and forcing the Cats to beat you through the air. Because there were moments where Tommy Mellott's a fine quarterback. I don't mean that as put down whatsoever. Montana State absolutely left points on the board in this game that would have explained the Bobcat win. But the Bobcats left him on the board. They did not win. And if you're an Idaho fan, day in, day out, if you're told, hey, Vandals, you're going to force Montana State to think they have to beat you through the air. How do you feel? I say, no, that's great. That's how that game has to go if you're going to be able to beat Montana State. And we've now had a couple teams we've now seen a Big Sky team force that imposing Montana State line to pass protect instead of run block, because Montana State got behind and they could not move the ball on the ground early. That is an absolute fact of how that game went. But my overall takeaway, of course, is, hey, Montana State heading into this week was number two in the overall NCAA FCS rankings. So that's for sure a seed. That's for sure a bye. That's for sure hosting at least through the quarterfinals. Maybe Montana State lost a teeny bit of what I just explained with the loss, but overall you have to feel, if you're a Bobcat fan, you should feel good about this team. They're brain dead going to make the playoffs. The question is, can they set themselves up for the type of run the Bobcat fans now, I think, feel that they have coming after having consecutive seasons of one losing in a national final to North Dakota State in 2021, and then losing in a national semifinal to South Dakota State in 2022. Final team to talk about is Idaho, who came into this week number 7 in that NCAA FCS ranking. And look, this win for Idaho is obviously huge. Getting another quality win, huge. Recovering from the loss 2 weeks ago, because Idaho's on bye last week. Recovering from that loss, host at home against Montana, huge deal. Showing that the team could grow and respond to adversity, huge deal for teams coming together. You know, think about Idaho, Montana, Montana State, because we're differentiating the three. You'd have to say Montana certainly has momentum. They've kind of responded to their early adversity by coming together. Defense is getting stronger. Offense is, you know, it's not going to be spectacular, but they've at least figured it out. They've recovered from that early struggle. Idaho hasn't really had adversity other than losing to Montana, but they a very good team. Lots of people are going to lose to Montana. They're in top. Again, they're number 6 right heading into this week. That's out of 122 FCS teams, guys. That's pretty damn good. So not a bad loss. A 2-point loss to that Montana team is not a bad loss at all. But hey, Idaho recovered. I think showed that, hey, they responded to a loss by coming together and getting better. Montana State is going to, I don't know if we're really going to know what their response is in the next until the Grizz game, because I think Montana State is just too good for Northern Arizona and Eastern. But to talk Idaho, the team got the team certainly did recover that. And look, I didn't hit the tail of the tape on the Montana State discussion as much, so I'll hit it this time. Look, overall, Idaho holds the number two offense in the nation to 319 total yards, which if we look at total offense on the season, that's significantly below the conference average Montana State has of 463, which was, of course, higher before this game. Also for Idaho, look, they dominate time of possession. I referenced the first half. Montana State only had the ball for 5 minutes and 55 seconds. On the game, even when Montana State struck back in the second half, Montana State had to be unbelievably efficient offensively because Idaho was still able to have those slow-moving drives that just absolutely make it very difficult if you get behind against Idaho whatsoever. The time of possession difference, Idaho 41 minutes and 27 seconds, Montana State 18 minutes and 33 seconds. Pretty damn good. Montana State was able to limit Idaho on the ground to 107 yards on 44 attempts. That's 2.4 yards per rush. But Javonte McCoy, best quarterback in the Big Sky in my mind, and I don't care who number two is, goes 22 of 29, 229 yards, two touchdowns. First team All Big Sky level performance out of Javonte McCoy, for sure. So the your takeaway from Idaho here, other than what I brought up of the Vandals responded, is now Idaho of these three teams, though, they've got the objectively easiest final 3 weeks of the season. Idaho has a better strength of schedule than both of these teams in Big Sky play by a pretty significant margin. That is going to change a little bit for Montana because they have Sac State and Montana State as two of their last three games. Idaho gets de facto bye week, Northern Colorado next week. They get Weber State the week after, then close hosting Idaho State, a frisky Idaho State, but it's at home. And when I say frisky, again, Idaho State's solid, but they're not remotely close to being in these top two, in this tier one or tier 1A that we talked about. So Idaho definitely set up in great position to get a first round bye in the playoffs, maybe even host heading into the quarterfinals. We have Dane Moon saying only if Idaho had a forced turnover, the score would be much different. Okay, and look, hey, Dane, I'll bring this up just because I talked about the Montana State end. Montana State definitely feels like they left some points on the board. Idaho left some points on the board too. So that's why, like, this game to me was a classic in that I don't feel like there was any facet of the game structurally that significantly favored one side over the other. There weren't that many penalties called. I think both teams benefited from that. There were not many turnovers were not, causal, what I'd call causal in this game, is in, look, Idaho had a chance to pick off a pass, but when I say turnovers were not causal to the result in this game, neither team turned the ball over. So it's not like Idaho or Montana State can say that this happened because of self-inflicted mistakes here. The self-inflicted mistakes are execution, meaning one team executed, one team did not. And Montana State, absolutely, in the second half, you saw that offense come alive. They were able to drive essentially as the Bobcats wanted and needed to until that final drive and missed field goal attempt. But to me, this was a match with two heavyweights, two very good teams who, if we're talking a playoff matchup, honestly, like, whoever gets to host might be the biggest deal between who's going to come away with a win when we look at these teams later on. But look, both very, very good. Both teams acquitted themselves fine. This was if this wasn't the FCS game of the week heading in, it was South Dakota State, South Dakota on paper, but South Dakota State murdered South Dakota. So this was, in terms of matchup and what actually happened on the field, this was easily the FCS game of the week. Both two teams acquitted themselves fine. It was a bigger deal for Idaho to pick up the quality win. But look, if you're Montana State and your only losses on your resume are South Dakota State and Idaho by a combined 7 points heading into the playoffs, you are fine. It's hard to win every game, guys, and it's virtually impossible in the Big Sky to win every game because you have to play. As we reference now, Idaho has now played Sacramento State, Montana, Montana State. The Vandals went 2-1 against those three teams. Montana State will eventually have played all these three teams. They sit at 1-1 with a split, beating Sacramento State, losing to Idaho. Montana has only played one of these teams. They're 1-0, but they have Montana State So they have Montana State coming up. They have Sacramento State. So forgive me if I mix those four teams up. You guys know what I'm talking about. Top four teams play each other's round robin, three total teams. But it's hard to overstate how big a deal this win feels for the Vandals overall. We talked about it on the Tubbs at the Club Instant Reaction Show, which that's on the YouTube channel. So check that out if you're interested. But as far as what matters for sorting these final four teams, I think we know who really to care about in these final few weeks. I think that Idaho for sure is set up to definitely go head into the playoffs with a bye. They've got multiple quality wins, including an FBS win plus wins over Sacramento State and Montana State. We'll see how the rest of the Big Sky kind of sorts itself out. I hit that earlier. But I think we're pretty clear, too. There's not going to be a fifth Big Sky playoff team. Or there shouldn't. If there's a fifth Big Sky playoff team, it's because the rest of the FCS is a lot weaker than I understand it to be right now. But that, I think we've kind of hit what we need to cover in the Big Sky. We're now kind of focusing on this show, looking into the week to come about what's going to matter, what's going to matter more instead of going over takeaways from the week that was. And look, in this upcoming week, really, again, it's just Sacramento State and Montana are the games to pay attention to. Idaho traveling to Greeley, not worried. And Northern Arizona traveling to Montana State. If I'm a Bobcat, I'm not worried about that whatsoever. Shouldn't be. Or if Montana State is going to recover, they're going to recover they should recover by beating the hell out of Northern Arizona. Thanks everyone for listening. Please support the show. Subscribe to hashtag OnlyTubbs at patreon.com/TubbsAtTheClub. Become part of the Only Tubbs Discord. Support what we're doing here. We do three shows a week during football. We are one of the only places that does a entire Big Sky Conference show. It's the one you're listening to right now. Thanks for supporting. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Helps us out as well. Also, dudes, if your team has any apparel from Walk On Apparel, use the Tubbs discount code when you check out, capital TUBS, for 15% off. With that said, guys, hey, everyone in the comment section, I hit you as much as I could. Thank you. Thanks, Ron Lowney, for recovering from last week, from last night, the Montana-Idaho State game. Glad to have you back, dude. Glad to see you participating. Dane Moon, thank you for jumping in here as well. Patty Furks, you're almost like our unofficial second. Otherwise, guys, I will be back next week. Glad to see you. And whenever I find a video to play us out, we're going to call it a day. Thanks a lot. Go Vandals.